All right, Senator, we're having fun up here.
This is the old scare tactic that they roll out.
But you have a voting record,
Governor. And I get all of that.
I can't imagine how you can defend your running mate's position on one issue after the next.
If Donald Trump had said all the things that you said he said in the way you said he said them...
Go read the book.
There they go again. Thanks. Just trying to keep up. Donald Trump supports our veterans.
He won't pay taxes. The only way the American public will see whether he has a conflict of interest.
No, he hasn't said that.
That is absolutely false, and you know that.
Most of what you said is completely false.
People at home cannot understand either one of you when you speak over each other. I would please ask you to wait until it is that the other is finished.
Give me shelter. From a Category 4 storm to what would we call that little political duet last night? Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. I've got a knock-knock joke for you.
All right. Please
knock, go ahead. Knock.
Who's there, John?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting cow.
Moo.
She had a Clinton Foundation accepting contributions from foreign governments.
You are Donald Trump's apprentice. Let me talk about this,
Senator.
Issue
I think I'm still on my time.
Well, I think isn't this a discussion?
This is our open discussion.
Senator, let's talk about this.
Well,
the state
let me
of the
Governor, let me interrupt you. Let me interrupt you and finish my sentence if I can.
That's what I got out of last night's vice presidential debate between Governor Mike Pence of Indiana and Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia. And Todd, why did Senator Kaine get home field advantage at Longwood University in Farmville, Virginia?
Yeah, just a little bit of luck there, I guess. Yeah, the debate commission schedules these things well in advance.
Did it help him?
I don't think it helped him. I don't think it helped him or hurt him. You know, he got a line at the top of the debate saying the great Commonwealth of Virginia where I was governor. That's amazing. Beyond that, I'm not sure that the national viewing audience even really knew where this debate was being held. And Mike Pence called it Norwood University at the top. So I don't think he knew it was Longwood.
That's right. It seemed like Pence was showing us he's more subdued than Donald Trump and that Kaine has the capacity to sound completely insane if Hillary Clinton is a little too boring for you.
And so, again, here's the problem with evaluations by contrast, right? Mike Pence shows how calm and collected he can be. You know, former radio guy, broadcaster, knows how to keep it cool. He's a conservative ideologue in many, many ways, but he's never been a fire breather, you know, and he shows that. But then by contrast, you compare him to the guy at the top of the ticket. Look, I think by all measures, Pence won. What does winning mean in this case? Yeah. This is a boxing gym sparring match. Right, there's sparring, it's pugilistic, somebody wins, but maybe winning what? You don't win anything, who cares? You might get a sense of who's in shape for 2020. Mike Pence probably raised his stock a little bit, although I will say one thing, John. I want to dispel with this notion that these vice presidential debates don't matter at all, because they do matter. I saw a great statistic last night going into the debate coverage. 47 vice presidents in history there have been, 14 have become president.
Because of their performance in the debate?
Not because of, but these people do become presidents. So there's not nothing there, not by any stretch. And in terms of Republican
that.
And in terms of Republican politics and what's going on in that party, which is really a train wreck right now. Look, you've seen Paul Ryan trying to keep the flame of conservatism alive, kind of nestling it in his hands during the Trump
phenomenon.
On
the other hand, he's got a hose. So he does. Poor flame.
No question about it. Well, look, Mike Pence is part of that whole scenario, right? There's Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, you know, weathering all this criticism for backing Trump, and some conservatives don't like it. Reporters are going at him. Mike Pence is the walking symbol of trying to keep conservatism alive in the Trump years.
And he made that point talking about his pro-life stance and referencing Kaine's pro-life stance. I mean, I thought that Pence, we'll find out from Bill Weld, Libertarian number two candidate in a moment, what the style points are in this debate. But I thought that, Pence did establish his conservative creds. What did Kaine do?
Kaine went in there to remind the country over and over about what an incendiary and dysfunctional candidate Donald Trump has been.
And I thought Pence really couldn't defend Trump very well. He kind of dodged all that.
I go back to my boxing gym sparring match metaphor and say that that's rope-a-dope, to the extent that Mike Pence is a Muhammad Ali fan. He sits on the ropes and took those punches, didn't really punch back on them, and really, how do you when Tim Kaine lists the ways that Donald Trump has insulted women or lists the ways he has said Japan or South Korea should have nuclear weapons. This is all part of the record. Mike Pence
and
can kind
Pence,
of...
Pence would just say, oh, for heaven's sakes. Oh,
a lot of times.
You know, like you're reaching. I mean, all this stuff.
And so Tim Kaine appears pushy and aggressive. I don't know how many people remember that necessarily, but I think he had one job, and that was to point up that if Mike Pence is a reasonable, soft-spoken guy, that you just how impossible it is to sit around and defend many of the statements that Donald Trump has made, and also the most important part that they're hanging over Donald Trump right now, which is the tax issue. Not only the New York Times report of the $916 million write-off, which the details are sketchy because we have Part B, no tax returns, and that's something that hangs around even today and will.
You did a national call-in show last night.
Yeah, we did.
Were there any calls? I mean, did anyone call in and respond?
Did you know like about half the calls were about the tax issue one way or the other?
Trump supporters.
Trump supporters saying, look, you know, he's a businessman. He's allowed to take these write-offs. The callers saying, what is he hiding? Where are the tax returns? But maybe, John, maybe more than half. And I think that reflects a lot on the state of the race going forward, where look, post-debate from the first presidential debate, there is a clear Hillary Clinton lead now nationally. All of the post-debate polls are showing just about 4% for Hillary nationally.
So it's not just an impression. It's in the
polls. No, it's solid. There's no question the race did narrow. But when you go through a lot of the post-debate state polling, there are 25 swing state polls since the presidential debate. Forget about Pence and Kaine. Donald Trump leads in one of those polls. 25 polls. That one was in Ohio, I think.
Really?
25 across all the swing states. So you're looking at Florida, Ohio, Nevada, narrow leads for Hillary Clinton. But New Hampshire, she's starting to run away with. Colorado and the state that I'm obsessed with, which is Pennsylvania, where Hillary Clinton came out two polls since the debate, plus 10 in one, plus 9 in the other. If Donald Trump can't win Pennsylvania and she's got a slim lead in North Carolina, the paths to victory are starting to become hard to see. Doesn't mean he can't turn it around. Sunday's critical. He has to find a way to change the tide on Sunday. But when you look at the state of the race in that sense, it's starting to look very much clear Hillary lead there.
All right, 35 seconds. So what does he do on Sunday? What's going to Trump do on Sunday? He's in a tailspin.
He's in a tailspin now, and he's shown no ability so far to be able to correct these tailspins by better behavior. So I think whatever strategy, John, you and I come up with, who knows if he can execute it.
But he's got to do something. He's got to pull something out of hat.
He's got to.
Up next, Libertarian vice presidential candidate Bill Weld on the debate, the Civil War in the Republican Party, Gary Johnson's Aleppo moment, and why he's not at the top of the ticket. Interrupting cow, that's a great joke. If you ever have kids, that's their favorite joke, that knock-knock joke.
I always heard it as interrupting chicken, but okay.
Todd Zwilling, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.